When did I graduate? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. It's a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you, preacher. Thank you so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when we asked me about the theme of the preaching, of the messages that we want to share to people here. And he said about spiritual preaching at this on the second day. I said, what? I mean, do you know that how true that is, so much needed in our midst? But at the same time, I kind of look at it as like a revival. You know, so we always do this, right? Revival meetings. All of us do that. Can we actually orchestrate revival? Kind of difficult to really pin your confidence in that. And so when Pastor Shavoni asked me, oh no, not me, I really want to say, preacher, can you find somebody who's been in the ministry for a while, and you know, you have that feeling and that thinking that can really help people. But I love my pastor, my former pastor, and I love Metropolitan Baptist Church. I've been here for so many years, served here as well, so I just don't have the strength to say no. Maybe next time, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best. I'm also at home at the same time. In this pulpit, I preached here so many times in the past. So without much ado, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read a few verses here. Do you mind standing, please, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? From verse 1 down to verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I entitled this message this morning, Preaching for the Sake of Jesus. Preaching for the sake of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time, and we praise you for your mercy. We receive so much blessings, Father, if we just keep looking around us, friends in the ministry, families, children, parents, freedom that we have in this country, and the ability and the privilege, the position that we have to exercise our faith. And so we come again where we gather around your word. We do pray, Father, that you will be with us. Again, I'd ask, and as I always ask every Sunday, hide me behind the cross. Help me to say the things that will not be negative in the sense of discouraging others, but just to encourage people, just to transform people, just to challenge and comfort people, and if need be, rebuke as well. As we try to preach the whole counsel of God, we pray for your anointing and blessing. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lift up our Savior. For his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Just a brief summary of background here. Paul the Apostle made a conclusion here. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, it's a conclusion to the previous chapter describing and delineating what a ministry should be. In verse 2 here, in this chapter, he testified of his personal integrity as a preacher. Then in verse 4, he emphasized that him and his fellow preachers do not preach themselves. We can see that in verse 4. But the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he also emphasized the fact that they were servants, serving others for the sake of Jesus. Now, it is not a stretch of any imagination by any means that when Paul said that he is a servant, it is not simply referring to the fact that he's ministering to them physically, nor even materially or emotionally. I believe this as a servant, he's actually referring to the fact that by and large, he's ministering to people around him, whether it's sharing, witnessing, contending for the faith against the Jews, or preaching to the lost, he's dispensing the Word of God. Would you agree with that? As a servant, you and I, preachers, and even pastors' wife, and those of you in leadership capacity, you minister to people, you serve people. By and large, you dispense the Word of God, whether it's advising or counseling or challenging people, whether it's from the pulpit, you ladies do that as well, with other ladies and children, you use the Word of God. And that's what Paul said. We are servants, and as people serving, as preachers serving, we are actually dispensing the Word of God. That's the reason why the context here has something to do with the Word of God, his integrity as a preacher, and how you dispense it in those verses that we've seen. Preaching, as Paul shows us here, being a servant is for the sake of Jesus. Preaching, if it's going to have at least the potential to be biblical and the potential to be used by the Spirit of God, has to be biblical. It has to be based on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. And then you would ask, preacher, how about the Old Testament? I mean, preach the Old Testament. Hey, you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God, there's Jesus. Created, there's Jesus. He's a creator. Heaven, that's where he lives. Just one verse. All over written in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you really look closely. In fact, without Jesus, our platform, we really have nothing. Absolutely. We're not even saved. That's why he said it, for the sake of Jesus. I'm going to emphasize that a little bit later. But let's take note seriously the kind of preaching that truly matters. Preaching for the sake of Jesus. Number one, the very first point here. This is the kind of preaching that's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. No matter how about people quitting? No, there's no such thing. It's unstoppable. If you don't want to carry the baton, somebody else will. Therefore, verse 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, understood completely here. I think the one in the middle is mine. As we receive mercy, and just Paul had a very good grip and grasp of how he was saved because of the mercy of God. In the light of the previous discussion where Paul the Apostle talked about the blindness of Israel, then in the last two verses he mentioned the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in the light of this, made this conclusion. If you look at the previous verse there, we're not going to stop preaching. Notice the way he said that. We faint not. It's a decision. It's a resolve. It's a conclusion. He didn't say, maybe I consider if my people would love me and then they would honor me, maybe I will continue preaching the Word of God. It's emphatic. We faint not. And preachers, pastors, missionaries, leaders, that's for you and that's for me. You don't have to look around. Oh, it's really tough. But Paul said, we faint not. We're not going to stop. This is the kind of preaching that's unstoppable. I was talking to Brother Glenn Weeks last Monday night and talking about a lot of things. And then I asked Brother Weeks, Brother, how long have you been married? He said, I remember he said, about 42 years. Wow, 42 years. So you've been married to Victoria for 42 years and your wife is married to you for 42 years. That's 84 years. That's long. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And you know what? You know why they were still together? For the sake of Jesus. Ultimately, and we will come to that conclusion a little bit, and I would re-emphasize that over and over again. It's all because of Jesus and that name. Or you can preach on the exploit and achievements of churches and others, of men and women, but they won't mean much in the end, as they will never have the impact in eternity and the value in eternity. The only preaching and teaching and service that we're looking for, as Paul said, and we will not faint, we will not stop, is a preaching for the sake of Jesus. That's the motive. And that's the means. That's all there is to it. This is the kind of preaching that's unstoppable. There's only one kind of preaching that's biblical, and there's a potential to be filled and be used by the Holy Spirit. It's the kind of preaching that's invincible, it's unstoppable, it's indestructible. Oh, we might think, oh, our movement is so small. Yeah, look at the first New Testament church. There's only 12 there. And he left it like that. But it doesn't mean that we'll stay that way. We just have to have faith. That kind of preaching is unstoppable. You want to stop it yourself? God will stop you on your track too. It's the kind of preaching that's going on for so many decades until since the Lord Jesus Christ started His first church. Secondly, this is the kind of preaching that's uncorrupted. Not only it's unstoppable, it's uncorrupted. Look at me in verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I've known, sorry to say this, I know Christian leaders that actually do this. As Paul described his ministry, he also testified of his honesty and sincerity, especially in his handling and dispensing of the Word of God. He will not preach it with prejudice or bias. He will not use it for gain, for vested interest or for personal agenda. He will just simply dispense it as it is. When I was a young preacher, after graduating from Bible college, now I have to teach people and I have to preach the Word of God. I'm just so scared of it. Until the Holy Spirit told me, you don't have to. Just preach it as it is. And it just dissipated the fear and it just removed the fear of preaching the Word of God. You don't have to worry about just manipulating it. You just take it and preach it to people. The only difference is that you have to know the timing and how to give it to people. That matters as well. But this is the kind of preaching that's uncorrupted. The problem with our political system, and it always be a problem until the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, is this. When a new government comes, and like Julia Gillard and Barack Obama during that time, if you remember that, before they come into power, they just saw the names are so fragrant. You know, this. People love them and they're just so good and everything. After a while, a month or two, they have seen the scheme and they've seen the lies and they've seen the deceit and they've seen the broken promises. Guess what? We want a new government. See, whether it's word or indeed, if our deeds and words are corrupted, it doesn't have a foundation as the truth. It's just a matter of time before they disappear. And so people want another government, and they don't realize another government will be the same, probably worse, in the previous one. But not in the preaching of the Word of God. It will always be, there will be evangelicals out there, and they will try to deceive us, and they'll try to just focus on the grace of God, and the mercy of God, and the love of God, and they don't realize there's another side to it, the holiness of God, and the righteousness of God, and the purity of God that has to be preached as well. And that kind of preaching in this day and age is not very popular. No. You got to be ready for that. Said, I'm going to be in the ministry, young people here, Bible college, I'm going to conquer the world. Yeah, but learn from other older preachers first. And you have the grace of God to do that. You know, I can do all things through Christ. You can. God calls you to start a ministry, a mission, or a church. He will be there for you and He will fulfill His promise. But this is the kind of preaching that's uncorrupted. You don't have to worry about opinion and notions. You know what? I read books and things like that. And sometimes we can be guilty of, this is what I really like. And we don't have to worry about those things. I mean, we just have to preach the Word of God. And we just have to study the Word of God. I really love studying the Word of God as far as the tenses and the grammar and when it was written. You know what? I feel so safe preaching that way. It's true as well. Everybody here, you'll be alive. If you as a pastor, a preacher, or a leader, you don't look up to somebody. Somehow we have somebody that we copy, a role model that would be somehow emulate, and things like that. But ultimately, if our preaching is not for the sake of Jesus, I don't really care who the great man that we follow. It doesn't amount much. Because preaching, if it's going to be biblical and be used by the Holy Spirit, not only it's unstoppable, we're not going to stop even if the media won't like it. It's uncorrupted. We just have to preach it as it is. Whether we're witnessing, teaching, testifying, or giving counsel, and most especially preaching because of Jesus and for His sake, we don't have to add anything. We don't have to take out or remove anything. As it is in its purest form, uncorrupted. Let's just simply preach it. There's only one kind of preaching that's biblical, folks. It's preaching for the sake of Jesus, undefiled, untainted, unblemished in its purest form, and God would bless that. And then thirdly, not only it's unstoppable, not only it's uncorrupted, this is a kind of preaching that's unrecognized as well. Look at me in verse 3. It's unrecognized, but if our gospel, that's the one that they're preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is He to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, in verse 4, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's why, personally, if you believe otherwise, I'll still shake your hand as long as you're close to as far as what the Bible tells us as independent Baptists. But this is for the Calvinists. Oh, they are lost. There you go. God made them lost. But no, notice in verse 4, they don't want to believe it. Did you see that? The reason is they don't believe it. Oh, it's simple. I'm a religious person. It's so simple. I mean, Jesus Christ did all the work on Calvary. No, I want to do something. And they don't want to believe that Jesus Christ, by placing your faith, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died and the redemption that He provided on Calvary, you will be saved. They don't want to believe that. They want something else. And so that's why they're lost. And the devil, they have opened up the door to the devil for the devil to influence them. That's what the Bible tells us. That's why they're lost. And that's why sometimes you're having difficulty sharing to people. It is so plain. It is so simple. They somehow understood it with their mind, but yet they will reject it. We were Catholics, and in Catholicism, the system there is just awful, terrible. You're in bondage of that. You got to do this. You got to light these candles. You got to have this sacrament and everything. It never dawned on me that who can do this constantly? I mean, really, faithfully. This is ridiculous. And I heard the gospel once and then twice, and then I read that in that book about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. I was 23 years old, and then I realized after a while that the assurance came in as well that I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. But this is the kind of preaching that's unrecognized. I was reading our local paper, the Leader, in the St. George area, and it was a big photograph of a father with two sons, probably 5 and 7 years old. And it's a headline there in that local paper. It says there, basically I read a top portion of it. It says, the father's teaching the children, the boys, on how to treat their sisters and the opposite gender, their friends in school, and eventually learning how to do that when they get their girlfriends and then they get married, and teach them properly, show respect and honor, everything. Now, this is in a local paper which is read by hundreds of thousands of people, and they made a big thing out of that. The truth of the matter is, we've been telling our people that for so many decades. We've been doing that. Love your wives and wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what? They don't want to recognize that. They would recognize what we're doing here. And yet what we're doing is better than what they're doing in the parliament. That's the truth. I mean, you know, there's no eternal value there. That's nothing. And in the reality, if we believe the Bible and for the sake of Jesus Christ, that's what we're doing here. It's the kind of preaching that's unrecognized, sadly. Folks, the media will cover a story in a stray cat or a wandering dog or a yoga class, but not what we're doing. When we started a church over there in Hurstville, I was told that we're going to cover this, and they took my photos, and can you pose for this with a Bible and everything? Yeah, that's good, that's cool and everything. And then the next days and weeks, I didn't see it. There's nothing. You know, and then I realized they will not recognize us. That's the reason why I believe You may disagree with me, that's fine. Listen to the doctor. I believe that each other, if there's anybody who's been serving God, husband and wife, for so many years, and they shed tears and they've been to battle and everything, I believe other churches should honor them. It's the only one, we are the only one doing it for ourselves, nobody else. Yet it's biblical. And we should accept that. You see, pastors and their wives, we just used to giving. Is that right? I mean, you just give and I give. And Pastor Wayne Shimmies, when he preached, and he just said, well, they take advantage of me all the time, but that's okay. He said, that's okay. That's an okay attitude. But at the same time, it's okay to receive as well every now and then. It's all right. Because it's biblical. We should give and we should take as well and receive as well. See, this kind of preaching that's unrecognized, and it's the only kind of preaching that's biblical. It's a preaching for the sake of Jesus. It is unaccepted, unacknowledged, and unrecognized. And then number four, not only it's unstoppable, folks, it's uncorrupted. We might try, but we can't. It's a kind of preaching that's unrecognized. And then number four, it's a kind of preaching that's unrestricted as well. It is for everybody, this preaching. Verse 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The only thing they have to do is accept, receive, believe, yield it, and surrender their will to the Lord, and they'll be saved. Talking of the lost. Paul declared here that if people who heard the preaching for the sake of Jesus only believe, they could be saved too, regardless who they are. The preaching for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the kind of preaching that's unrestricted. This is for everybody. That's the reason why Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, you have heard this before, but as long as I'm in this body, in this tabernacle, I'm going to give it to you. But you heard this before. When I'm dead, I'm still going to give it to you. Do you know that it's okay to come to church and hear the same message over and over again? It's a reminder. You know that principle is all over us? Anybody knows Coca-Cola? But how come there's always billboards and posters and advertisements? You know, we always drive, right? We always know the roundabout seems to slow down a car, right? How come they still put it there? The principle is there. We need the Word of God constantly. It quickens us. We need that. Our children need the Word of God, a good preaching and teaching of the Word of God. This is a kind of preaching that's unrestricted. Last Sunday morning, I look at a young man, 21 year old. He's been to our church a couple of times. That I believe that's the third time. And I said, this is about time. I've been given. I want to chase him and talk to him. I didn't have a chance, really. I was talking to people. And this time, I really set aside my time. Didn't look at anybody and just focus on him. I started to talk to him and talking sports and his work. And he's got the kind of guy that, you know, we have hearing here. And I don't know if they're ringing in the face, but we had a chance to talk together. I challenged him about what I preached that morning about weaknesses and frailties as human beings. And then I asked him about, you know, the typical question that, are you a religious person? Yes. Yes. Do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. When I was a kid, we go to church and things like that. And then I asked that question, if you were to die today. You go, are you sure you're going to heaven? He said, lost. And my antenna went up, lost. So to cut a long story short, I was with him for almost 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes, just repeating all the verses until he gets it. I asked him to read it. What does it telling you? And he was the one who's preaching to me. Come on, preach it, brother, I said. He was preaching to me, and I like it and everything. And then I asked him, how do you understand that? Well, to cut a long story short, he that had the son, you lost. Do you know that you're going to be damned? You know what is damned? Yeah, I think it's going to hell. You know, hell, do you want to go to hell? No. So what do you need to do? Romans 10, Romans 13, and verse 13 and others. And to cut a long story short, he got saved. And I didn't say when I saw him that maybe, we know this. Pastors, don't we want to look at somebody? Is this the time? But you know what? In Acts 17:3, the Bible tells us, "But the time of ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men to." Now, it's for everybody. It's unrestricted. And this is the kind of preaching that the media and others would not like. Because, oh, I don't need to hear that. But if the kind of preaching that we do is that kind biblical for the sake of Jesus, they will not recognize that because the Bible says they rejected that. You should rejoice in that simply because you're fulfilling what the Bible tells us about this kind of preaching. Instead of probably, let's have a CCM music here. You know, Hillsong is beautiful and we can... No, we don't have to. We really don't have to. This is the kind of preaching that I believe God would use. And by the way as well, because of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples during that time, the courage is there. They're not afraid of anything or anybody. I don't think anybody can manufacture that. But at the same time, we also need to do our part, don't we? I mean, we need to do our part. We have to speak. We have to act. We have to live. We have to do things. And then just wait for the Holy Spirit to do the work. I like the subject of the Holy Spirit. I think Pastor Weston taught on that when that was the time, preacher, when I was really looking for what does Acts 1 8? What is fullness? What is filling? What is indwelling the difference? What's anointing? What is baptism, the Holy Spirit? And I come to that conclusion. Whatever it is, I need it. And you need it. We can cut it and digress it and categorize it. This is it, this is it, this is it. But you know what? I need the Holy Spirit to get control of my life. And that's what I need. And that's what you need as well. But there's a kind of preaching that I believe God blesses. And the kind of preaching that we are discussing this morning. It's not only unstoppable. It's not only uncorrupted. It's not only unrecognized. Don't feel bad about that. But it's a kind of preaching that's unchangeable. It is unchangeable. Look at me in verse 5. You know this, you read the Bible so many times, and this one just blasted me. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. Well, there's a tendency for preachers to preach themselves. Yeah. That's why it was here. Don't do that. Don't do that, Pastor Marco. Don't do that. Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll try my best. But probably I'll fail, but I'll try. But Christ Jesus the Lord. There it is. And then, look at the way it's placed here, the phrasing, in ourselves. And you would think, oh, there you go. You're preaching ourselves, right? A continuation. No. That's a different thought. It says, in ourselves, your servant. That's the emphasis there. We are your servants. For the sake of Jesus. Just like what I said. Paul's main thrust is of his serving ministry is preaching for the sake of Jesus. The kind of preaching that really matters is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Biblical, Holy Spirit-led preaching is for the sake of Jesus. And this fact is unchangeable. We change this, we don't have a message nor a platform to stand on. It's all about Jesus. It's all about preaching the name. It's all about who He is and what He is. It's all about the fact that He's my Creator. He's my Savior. He's my Provider. He is my Judge. He is my Teacher. He is my Comforter. It's all about for the sake of Jesus. The Gospel. Probably some of you know John Austin. Raise your hand if you know John Austin. John Austin, I'm the only liberal here. Anyway, John Austin is a liberal evangelical preacher, young man, very charismatic. Not a charismatic as part of the movement, but very strong personality. He was interviewed by Larry King. Anyone ever known Larry King? Okay, no, that's good. But Larry King is a very famous famous host in America, and he was interviewing him, and he asked him, "So you are preaching the Bible?" He said, "Yes." And so would you say that if a person... has not been forgiven, basically. I'm trying to remember the exact phrase, but it comes across like this. But if you say that a person has not been forgiven, has not placed the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that person will be damned. That person will go directly to hell. That's basically what he said. And John Austin looked down and said, "You know what? I'm not here to judge. I don't judge those kind of things. I just preach the Word of God and let God judge that." I was really irritated. You know, when Paul was agitated, when there was a preaching of something, he was agitated in his spirit and wanted to do something, and he did something. That's the kind of feeling that you and I, anybody who would hear it, but probably would ask the television. It's not television. I was watching it because I showed it to the people. I saved it just for a reference point. And that's what he said. You know what? They used to preach like Jesus Christ 50 years ago, 60 years ago in this country. We're using the same Bible, from my understanding, as I read it. And Methodist or Presbyterian, we're preaching the blood of Jesus Christ, the old-fashioned hymns and the format of service and everything. Now just digress into everything else. And this guy who's had hundreds of thousands of followers, he said he's to his people and the public, I cannot judge that. Let God be the judge. Man, that's a change of the message. Now, if you and I cannot have something absolute and definite, good night, remove that necktie and just throw away that coat and just sell real estate, business and what have you. My goodness, we don't have anything to stand on. That's the truth. For the sake of Jesus. You know what? The truth of the matter is, Mrs. Weston, you know, the reason why you would really submit to your husband, though sometimes you don't want to submit, you know the answer. You know the answer there. Pastor Harris, why are you singing this here this morning? And why do you have to bring your people from Wollongong? And why do we have to have missions conference? And why do we have to have these? And why do we have to have Bible college? Why do I have to have sometimes, all the time, love? There's this woman here, sometimes I don't feel like it, but I have to love. Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to have tithes and offerings and mission conference? Why do I have to have preaching like this? Simply because for the sake of Jesus, that's all. And you do that and you submit to your wife, you submit to your husband, and that's what I do sometimes. Hey, excuse me, that's not wrong. That's what I do sometimes. The Bible tells us, submit one to another. You know, that's still biblical. And so we do all those things. Why do I have to preach it as if it's an urgent message? Because it is an urgent message for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, who might come back today. That's the truth. You don't feel like it because we just got married or we're going to be going for a trip overseas. But it might happen today. It's the kind of preaching that's unchangeable. That's the truth. The only kind of preaching that's biblical, it's a preaching for the sake of Jesus. So young preachers here, until you actually read the Bible 50 times, you just simply stick to the Bible and preach it. You don't have to worry about anything. That's an advice from me. And then lastly, and this is the kind of preaching that's undeniable. You can't deny that. Oh, you may dismiss that. You might feel that there's no power there. The gospel is powerful. The Bible tells us the power of God for salvation. Whether I believe it or not, it is the power of God. And I'd rather believe that and yield to that. That eventually that power would come. We want revival. I've read old books on revivals and more than 100 years ago. And R.A. Torrey and Gypsy Smith and others said, Lord, you know, we want these, and how come it's not happening? Maybe it's our fault, and I believe we are to be blamed for this. It's not you, because you promised something. So until that time comes, we will live and try to live our lives for revival, and we will preach the gospel for the Lord, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will continue to do that. But it is something that you cannot deny. Look at me in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, even allegorically, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark world, hath shined in our heart. Meaning to say, for people who have the Holy Spirit, it just shines. I mean, it's just empathic, that don't wait for it to feel shining. It's there. It's in our heart. The Holy Spirit is in our heart. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Help me not to grieve you. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. That'll preach. But as Paul continues on and made an analogy of light and darkness, and that the light has subdued the darkness, as the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, comes to indwelt us, that light will shine. The Bible tells us, hath shine in our hearts. It didn't say probably, maybe when you're spiritual. But it said, hath shine in our hearts. If we allow it to shine in our hearts, we will speak, we will testify, we will preach, we will share the gospel, we will live, we will love our children, we will train them, we will submit to each other, we will be good church members, we will be tithing members of a church. Amen? No problem with that. This is where sharing and testifying and teaching and preaching will manifest the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we deny the light in the midst of darkness? You can. You feel it. You sense it. It's there. Because it's the light. If you're a believer and you have a problem, if you don't discern the wickedness around us, the internet, the television, there's something wrong in your brand of Christianity when you can... And you cannot sense something wrong, some wickedness around us. The prince of the power of the air. If you are comfortable watching movies and from Hollywood, as the preacher always mentioned, and staying in the internet and surfing that, and reading glossy magazine, and being with unsaved, there is something wrong. You probably need to be saved. Really, that's a reality. I'm not talking of fumbling every so often as sinners. I'm talking of being comfortable in those things. And you don't have a struggle with that, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because it will shine. It will come out. It will release itself. Himself. That's undeniable. Trina, I would always do together. Isn't it wonderful? Husband and wife, we should always do things together, whatever that might be. Sometimes Trina and I would just look at each other and laugh. Just for the sake of laughing and crack jokes. And I told Trini, I think I've shared this, with me you're not going to grow old. With me you're going to go crazy. And she's crazy right now. She's crazy. Crazily in love with me still. Anyway, after 26 years. Anyway, we would see each other every so often. I would tell her, meet me in front of this shop or in this building, this facade. And we would do that. And I would notice this whenever Trini would look somewhere, her face is a bit different. You know, not that sad or anything, just serious and sober, somber. But whenever she sees me, even from so many meters away, I can see her face beaming. I don't know why. Whenever she sees, she's still beaming. I think it still does, right? And I would see that smile. And so it's so undeniable. If you know what, that she saw me. Do you understand that? She saw me. You know what? If you're a Christian, testifying, sharing, living, it's undeniable. They would see Jesus. There's Jesus there. There's God. Not just religion. There's a difference. Because if there's no uniqueness in what we believe, we don't have much really. Uniqueness means only one. The relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will come, will be manifested. It will be there. When we allow ourselves, the Bible tells us this, all the promises of God, cast your anxieties upon me for He cares for you. You know what? 8 years there and there's battle preacher, there's struggle and things like that. But you know what? The truth of the matter is I don't want to trade what I have, my position, for anything else in the world. That is the truth. I am telling you the truth as Paul in his integrity says, I'm not going to handle the word of God. I'm not going to be deceitful. I'm just simply telling you the truth. I am unstoppable. I will keep preaching the word of God. I will keep giving gospel tracts. I will keep following up people until the Lord Jesus will take me home. Because that's what it is. It's unstoppable. That's the kind of preaching that I believe personally God will take and God will bless and that God will use for the glory of God, for His sake, and for the benefit of God's people. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your mercy and Your goodness. It is an amazing thing, Lord, that You can use anybody. And I just pray that You would use these words. It's all about Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, it's things that have been done outside of that will be burned. That's what You said as well in Your Word. But I do pray for each one here, for young people, especially the young ones that are contemplating in Bible college and serving. There's nothing else to do that has an eternal value, that is heeding to what You said in 1 Timothy, who has saved us and called us. There's no exception. We just have to know what You specifically want us to do. So I pray that You would bless. I pray that there's one or two that can be challenged and be even rebuked and comforted, instructed. Lord, I pray that you would use. Thank you for thy word. Thank you that you preserve it. Thank you that we have a foundation that is so true and so certain and so absolute that we can dispense it to others, whether it's testifying, teaching, or preaching, or counseling. We have something that is for eternity. We praise you. We thank you for that. Will you continue to bless the next preaching and the singing and everything that's to be done here this morning. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.